was just a wild, wild football game down in the Big Easy. It was certainly not easy at all. Final score, 50-49 Saints. Go figure. In a game that featured seven touchdown passes, seven by Drew Brees and six by Eli Manning. Go figure, it would be decided by a 50-yard field goal at the end of the game. How you doing, everyone? Welcome to Giants Post Game Live here on My Nine. I am Russ Salzberg, and my colleague joining me today, Sean O'Hara, Roman Oben, and Imani Toomer. Guys, I don't know what I just watched. All I know is the Giants dropped their record to 4-4.
Well, we watched an unbelievably offensive display of football. Zero defense on either side of the football, but for this game to come down to a punt, you know, we're all sitting here talking about that, and the question really is, what was said to Brad Wing? He's been phenomenal for the Giants, but did anybody tell him, hey, you might want to kick this out of bounds? We don't want to allow a big return now that would set this up. I certainly give a lot of credit to Craig Dahl for his hustle on coming in on that play and ripping the ball out, but just a tough, tough loss, tough way to end the game.
Yeah, you remember the Eagles game a couple years ago when the Giants lost, I think it was 09.
It was 2010.
2010.
Yeah, Matt Dodge.
DeSean Jackson ran a touchdown all the way back. Very similar situation. The game was at hand, and in this case, we'd have went to overtime. But, yeah, it's just a very tough break. The decision-making in the fourth quarter, again, comes into question with these New York Giants.
Well, I can't get past 101 points, guys. I mean, 101 points in the game. Yeah. I mean, we were looking forward to overtime at some point, and maybe we might have seen some more offense, but the touchdowns, the passing, the things we'll talk about bigger picture. But guys, 101 points in the football game. I thought I was watching college football. Some of those scores we saw yesterday, somebody's got to play defense. And the team that had the ball last ended up kicking a field goal.
Well, as I say, I was watching something that I had never seen before. Why we're all excited. I mean, the offense displayed by both Eli Manning and Drew Brees was unbelievable. And quite frankly, almost more credit to Eli, because Eli came back twice from 14-point deficits and then goes and puts him ahead. But
they were down 14 points, Russ, and a couple of those drives, I mean, it was back-to-back holding penalties, then a sack. I mean, it looked like the Giants were imploding. And then to your point, Russ, Eli brings it back, starts making a couple big throws, and Dwayne Harris, I mean, he was carted off earlier in the game, comes back to catch two touchdown passes. You have to give this offense a lot of credit for battling back, and this team, they fought and they clawed. They should have won this game, but they just found another way, and it's amazing they can keep coming up with different ways to lose games at the fourth quarter.
I've got to go back. I think you look at what happened on both sides offensively. I'm more impressed with what Eli Manning did because you did it on the road. Because you did it when the offensive pass protection wasn't very good. You did it when you weren't running the ball consistently well enough, and defense came back with that fumble run for a score. You thought that they finally started to have the momentum at that point of the game. But you still, when defense does something like that, you remember, they got to get back on defense again and then let the offense of New Orleans Saints march back down and score. Again, 3 points, 101 points total overall. It was sad to see that.
I think we watched one of the best quarterback performances this year. Let's check out the quarterback comparison between the two. Both of these guys really put up great numbers. 30 completions for Eli Manning. For Drew Brees, 40 completions for 511 yards. That's unbelievable. I don't think I've seen that in a professional game in a long time.
And for Eli, no interceptions to him. And those are great points right there. And actually, Eli's yards would have been much more similar to Drew Brees, but a lot of his yards were taken off because of penalties. Yeah. You know, the defensive penalties by the Saints kept moving the ball and getting the first downs. Otherwise, he probably would have had 500 yards too. But when they needed it most, right there at the end of the game, they basically go 3-and-out, and that deep ball. I mean, we were yelling at Ruben Randall to sell out and go ahead and lay out for that ball.
Because
I gave him a chance to try to die for that, but at the end of the game, they couldn't even get one first down. You get one first down in that situation, and now that punt is that's it. You can't kick it out of bounds, and the clock is done. You go to overtime.
You talk about penalties and first downs. There was a drive where the penalties kept them in the drive. Yeah. Two penalties on third down, ended up scoring. I don't know if it was 42-35 at that point of the game. But, penalties, all those things, the little things. I mean, you knew this team had to be in the plus category in the turnovers to win because both defenses had given up a lot of yards. But, again, it came down to the very end.
Well, lots to talk about now, but let's take care of a little business first. You folks, you want to go to www.adorama.com/Giants to win yourselves a Behringer X32/32 channel 16 bus, Total Recall digital mixing console. You got that? Adorama, the official electronics retailer of the Giants. Lots more coming up. We'll hear from, I'm certainly an unhappy head coach, Tom Coughlin, Eli Manning's reaction, Paul DeTino with more player reaction, plus the NFC East standings. It's all coming up here on Giants Post Game Live on My Nine. Stay right where you are. All right, once again, Giants suffer a crushing loss. It seems they do it far too many times this season. This one by the score of 52-49, closing seconds of the game. Their record drops to 4-4. Gentlemen, you know, I spoke with Coach Coughlin on Thursday, and one of the things he said, they needed help from the offense to sustain some drives to keep Drew Brees off the field. Well, you know, Eli certainly sustained drives and put points up on the board. In fairness, there was no help from the defense whatsoever.
No, I mean, you look at, I think before the half, there were 50 first downs on both sides before the half, so no one was playing defense. I mean, you heard him saying this on television that this looked like 7-on-7. At least in 7-on-7, you're playing defense. I mean, this looked like pass Kelly, where you're just throwing the ball to the receivers on air, moving down the field. But it's unfortunate. It's really unfortunate because you get a chance throughout the course of a game to figure out the other guy. And I think no one on the defensive side of the ball, really on both teams, figured out the other guy enough to say, these are the tendencies, this is what they're going to play, this is what they're going to continue to come back to. There were some things that they kept doing continuously. I mean, Ben Watson, I thought Jimmy Graham was still on the team with some of those routes that he caught.
Let me ask you a question, though. Yeah. The poor defensive play, how much is that a result of the injuries? Though you can't make it as excuses, but are a lot of injuries.
Well, absolutely. I mean, no Prince Mukamura. You know, John Beeson was inactive. So now you're starting Jasper Brinkley at middle linebacker. You know, the same thing happened a couple of years ago when they went down to New Orleans and they had injuries in the middle linebacker. They started Mark Herzlick as a rookie and Jaquan Williams as a rookie. And Sean Payton, as soon as he sees that, guess what he does? He goes formations you to death, personnels you to death. They're changing different people in and out. And now you get lost in the shuffle. And we saw Drew Brees take advantage of the secondary, take advantage of the linebackers. Benjamin Watson was running by linebackers and running behind and in front of safeties. This offense is just too good, and there was just too many injuries. Jaron Hosley got banged up in the game, too. You know, you saw Onwenu out there, but he's only out there in the nickel. Yeah. And Jonathan Casillas ended up starting, too, for JT Thomas. So A lot of injuries there on the defensive side of the ball. And look, Coach Coughlin said that about the offense has to keep up. If you would have said, Tom, your offense is going to score 49 points, he would have been ecstatic, and he would have said, hey, we're going to win this game.
So he would have taken 29.
Steve Spagnuolo, apparently New Orleans is kryptonite to Spags, and it just doesn't work out for him there. I don't know why, but it's got to be frustrating.
It's not only kryptonite to Spags because the Giants haven't won down there since 1993.
Yeah, so Eli's never won
down there. He's only been there twice. This is his
third game there.
Third game there, but – also, they've only punted. The Saints only punted twice.
Right.
I mean, that's a long time for a team to only punt twice. It's a lot of plays, a lot of completions with no stops on D.
And in the pass rush, Russ, that's really where it really showed up tonight, because the Giants in the first half, they were only rushing three guys, and they basically said, hey, we're going to drop back in coverage and try to slow down Drew Brees that way. Then they had to change it up. But the lack of a pass rush definitely came back to haunt them.
All right, let's now go back to New Orleans. Catch up with Paul Dottino, who spoke with, coming off the field, Dwayne Harris and Trumaine McBride.
Dwayne, that has got to be one of the most improbable games I know I've ever seen, probably you've ever been involved with. How could you describe what is going on here today?
It was a good game. It came down to the last field goal. We knew it was going to be a shootout, and unfortunately we didn't get the win.
How about the ability of Eli to throw those two fourth down touchdown passes as you guys kept trying to keep up with them?
Yeah, he's a good quarterback. He looks for the open man, finds him, throws good passes, and let us ride, which is make plays.
You know, you said you knew it was going to be a good game. Is this one of those that you knew not only was going to be a track meet, but the last team with the ball might win it?
Yeah, we knew it was going to come down to who had the ball last. And, we knew we had to make plays. We knew we had to come out and get a win this week, but unfortunately, the better team won.
Dwayne Harris, thank you for your time. Well, Trumaine, obviously it looked like your touchdown was going to hold up and win the game. Rather than talk about that for a second, though, what about the fact that this game got away from you again?
You know, it's very disappointing for us because we had high expectations coming into this game. But, you know, we got to regroup next week and come back home with a W.
All right, now the play, the DRC knocks that ball free, right, and you give the Giants the lead here late. Pretty amazing.
Yeah, it is. I mean, the ball basically came right to me. You know, that actually doesn't matter, though, because we didn't get the win today.
All right, now finally, this kind of game, we knew it was going to be a track meet coming in. Did it really just turn out to be who was going to get the ball last?
Yeah, but you know, like I said, man, like it shouldn't have been like that because we planned great for this game, but you know, we came up short.
Jermaine McBride, thanks for your time.
All right, thank you.
All right, guys, back to you.
All right, thank you very much, Paul Dottino. Folks, stay right where you are. You're watching Giants Post Game Live here on My Nine. Lots more to come. We're going to hear from head coach Tom Coughlin, of course, quarterback Eli Manning, Paul Dottino with more player reaction, and the NFC East standings. It's all here for you on Giants Post Game Live right here on My Nine. All right, welcome back to Giants Post Game Live here on My Nine. Once again, your final score, Saints 52, Giants 49. Let's go back to the Superdome, hear what head coach Tom Coughlin has to say.
You know, I was pleased the way we scrapped and fought and the grit that we showed coming down here. It's not an easy place to play, not an easy place to win, obviously. We couldn't stop them. We didn't stop them. The defensive score really made me feel like we were going to win it. You know, I thought with the defensive score, we'd win the game. They came down. I wasn't going to help them with their touchdown to tie it. And then with 36 seconds left on the clock, you know, we don't get a first down. We punt the ball. They should have had the ball with 5 seconds to go. Where the coverage is, I don't know. I'd have to look. You know, we're obviously going to shore up our protection there. And he runs it back. I don't know what he ran it back, 20 yards. And, you know, we thought the knee was down. At least that's what the word was coming down upstairs. They thought the knee was down prior to the face mask penalty. But they had plenty of time to look at it, as the referee said, and they did not think to see it the same way. I thought offensively we did an awful lot of good things. Lots of people contributed. A lot went into this game. We knew the quality of the team that we were playing against, and we knew on the road this would be a great test for us going forward. We're in the NFC. We're playing against a team that was a hot team at that point in time. And we did an awful lot of good things to win, quite frankly, but not enough, obviously, in the end. I don't know, because I never could get a word out of them the whole game. They had their backs to me, and they were huddled, the officials, and I didn't even know what the penalty was. And then they were going back the other way. And they turned around and obviously went our way. And then I took the timeout because I wanted them to look at it. And what the referee said, he was right. I mean, he said, look, I stalled as long as I could, waiting for them to take a look upstairs, and they don't seem to have found anything wrong with the play. So, but that's why I took that time out at the end, was just to give them a chance to go ahead and look again.
Did you want the punt to go out of bounds?
Not necessarily, but we kicked it in such a way that we should have had better coverage. Right, on the drive there, yeah. I don't know what they announced because I couldn't hear anything. So I don't know what that was all about. You guys are raising a good question. Quite frankly, I didn't get a lot of information today from anybody, but that's my problem. Find the words. Frustrating, you know. You want to explode, but why? You know, that's not going to help. So you're trying to figure out how you can help. You know, guys are going in and out, down and out. And we just – a couple of times we had some pass rush pressure on him. And he did throw it to where I thought maybe we would have a chance to have an interception a time or two. But he's very accurate. There's no doubt about it. He's an outstanding player. He has been for a long time. And he's got an excellent complement. Because it's not as easy as you say, punt it out of bounds. You know, we punted it for distance. We got some distance. They would have had 5 seconds left had we covered it. It would have been beyond midfield. They would have had one play. That was all fine. Didn't expect the guy to run the punt back. And then, of course, I didn't expect the penalty. Both. Yeah, both. I mean, he gets the ball out of his hand, and they did. They have had some sacks. They had 18 sacks going in, but still, he gets rid of the ball quickly. No matter what it is, offense, defense, special teams, it hurts to lose. And, you know, we did pretty much everything we could do on one side of the ball. We also got a defensive touchdown. And it should have been enough. It wasn't enough. That's, we didn't cover them the way that that we expected to. We made some mistakes in coverage. We didn't get a lot of pressure on the quarterback. He pretty much made, you know, decisions over the ball as to and analyzing what we were doing, and he got the ball out quickly. Yeah. I did, but I didn't want to give it to him in midfield either, you know. If I had it over after the play, I would have done it the other way around, you know. So, and then I didn't expect him to punt the ball in the end zone either. I wanted to put, you know, stop him inside the 10, but he punts the ball in the end zone. So after the ball goes in the end zone, I look in the mirror and I say, you might as well have gone for it. So. No, not at all. At that point in time, that's what they were going to do. No doubt about that. That was no decision either. No. Well, I felt we were having a lot of trouble. You know, I'm not going to give you a lot of adjectives to describe the way I feel about not stopping them. You're just going to have to live with the fact that we didn't do a good enough job. We didn't stop them enough. We got the lead in the game. We should have won the game. We didn't win the game. The last question was an hour and a half ago. I don't have any information. He had some spasm in a muscle area, shoulder, neck area, and so they held him.
All right, well, that's Coach Coughlin, and Coach is Coach. You guys know he's never going to throw anybody under a bus, but let's be honest here. He got no help, no pass rush whatsoever, no sacks. That's going to kill you. I don't care how many points you can score. That's going to kill you.
Especially playing against Drew Brees. You know, you can't let him sit back there and pick you apart. You know, for the Saints, their right tackle Zach Strief has been struggling. Andrus Peat, their first round pick, was hurt. So, you know, you're playing against a vulnerable offensive line, and they just couldn't generate anything. Demontre Moore, I mean, he leads the team in sacks with three. Again, he after being inactive because of a dumb penalty. He gets another roughing the passer penalty.
I don't know if that was fair, though.
It was a questionable call. I mean, he was you know, falling forward and hit him. But two plays after that penalty, Drew Brees throws another touchdown, and it's just tough for this D-line.
Yeah, it's like if you're Spags,
what do you do? I mean, you sit back and wait, or do you blitz him? And if you're going to blitz Drew Brees, I don't know how good of an idea that is as well. And, you know, Trevon Wade really took the brunt of the emphasis early on, because they were going after him. Every person who was on him, was that's where the ball was ending up.
And you guys know this. I played for Drew Brees. I blocked for Drew Brees in San Diego. And he sets back deep in the pocket, lets the pass rush get around him. Then he steps up, slides through, which as a lineman you appreciate because he's accurate and gets rid of the ball quick. I would have put the emphasis on the interior pass rush, collapsing that pocket, pushing him back so that he gets collapsed from the outside. So Selvey, Ayers, Wynn on the outside. I mean, they were going right around the quarterback, and he was stepping up. But you didn't see a lot from an interior standpoint. I think that's where the pocket – that's what not only – that didn't collapse, but that's where Drew Brees was able to get through those D tackles and find the passing seams. And also, you talked about three downs earlier. You can't – you rush three, that nose guard has got to be a beast because it's going to be a double team, triple team. So Jenkins, whoever – Hank, he had to get some pass rush in the middle.
Good news is Giants remain in first place. Bad news is, once again, they failed to take a little control and breathing room in their division. All right, let's take care of some business here, Giants fans. Enjoy an evening, if you will, of some great food from some of the best restaurants and the opportunity to meet some of your favorite Giants places. All for a good cause. Purchase tickets today at Giants.com/taste. All right, stay right where you are. A lot more coming up. Eli Manning. Reaction from Paul Dottino, more players, the upcoming schedule, and the NFL East standings. You're watching Giants Post Game Live here on My9. All right, folks, welcome back to Giants Post Game Live here on My Nine. Once again, your final score in another heartbreaking loss for the Giants. They lose to the Saints 52-49 down in New Orleans. What do you say we now go back down to New Orleans, check in with Paul Dottino and Howard Cross?
Well, thanks so much, guys. And, you know, this was just a pretty unbelievable game to watch. And when you talk about the offensive numbers, let's just start with Eli for a second. He had 6 touchdown passes in this game, which is his career high. 3 to Beckham, 2 to Harris, 1 to Vereen. I don't know that I've ever seen him look any better, Howard.
I think you had to think about it like this. You know, at one point in the game, he only had 3 incompletions. So it's pretty crazy. You have 25 completions and like only 3 on the ground. That's ridiculous. I think one of those happened to be threw the ball on the ground at a screen or something. But that's incredible football.
And then one of the other things that we noticed is that no matter what the Saints were doing to Odell Beckham Jr., he wound up making plays. Look, he had 3 touchdown catches on the night. And by the way, Eli had 2 fourth down conversions for touchdown passes.
Yeah, you know, think about this also. Odell Beckham was beating him so bad. They were grabbing hold of him on every plate. And I would have been looking for Browning and whoever he was covering. I would have been throwing the ball at him the entire time. He's the most penalized guy in the league. I think you throw at him every play.
All right, so now on the other side of this, there's the 80-yard touchdown drive that winds up tying the score. And then on special teams, the breakdowns on that final play, and the Giants wind up losing it. Howard, I don't know where you start to try to fix this defense because this was truly a video game.
Well, I think what you were looking at is like they were trying to figure out a way to get pressure on Drew Brees. Well, I think what you do in a situation like this when you really can't stop a team is you drop everybody back, you rush four, and you just keep guys in coverage and try to make them be methodical going down the field. No big plays. Don't give up anything big. Methodical plays over and over again.
You know, toughest thing for me to fathom is despite that the defense has given up now 3 games, clutch touchdowns that lost it, the offense in each one of those games had a chance to put it away before the defense allowed the lead to squander. Same situation again here, where if the offense had even gotten 1 first down in the final minute, you know, we weren't going overtime.
Yeah, you know, good game. Both guys, both teams struggling there, but I'm telling you what, it was a good shot. It was very exciting to watch.
All right, Howard.
Right,
hey, let's go inside to Eli Manning. He's addressing the media.
Yeah, it was a wild one. You know, it was definitely, don't know if I played in one quite like that with, you know, that many touchdowns back and forth. You know, Drew playing great. Our offense, you know, what is it, 12 touchdown passes in the game. I guess 13 if you count his interception to us. So, you know, it's just a wild, obviously, just maybe 14. How many? I can't keep up. But you know, a lot of touchdowns, a lot of offense, and just a wild one. And I wish we could have come out on top of it though. You know, I thought we've been playing pretty well offensively. You know, we didn't play real well in the Eagle game. They got after us pretty good. The Dallas game, I thought we didn't have the ball much. You know, able to do a few good things. But today, I thought our offensive line protected well, had good run pass action. Receivers were winning the one-on-ones. And so we just, you know, we had a lot of opportunities, had a lot of plays, and were able to convert some third downs, convert some fourth downs. And, you know, having all our guys practicing this week, I think, plays a big difference. We have Odell and Ruben, those guys practicing all week, getting every rep. It definitely helps with the execution of things. Well, I thought we were moving the ball pretty well offensively. You know, had a couple of nice drives, but you know, knew that was gonna be a big 2-minute drive right there because you know we knew we got the ball to start the second half. So if we could go get a touchdown, possibly score coming out the second half, and you know tie the game without them ever having the opportunity with the ball. So it was a huge drive right there in the second half to get that touchdown to give us a little momentum going into halftime. Well, you just never know. You know, we knew, I knew they had a lot of time left. We threw the interception, we score, we go up 7. There's still, you know, a good bit of time left. Their offense had obviously been moving the ball up and down the field pretty well all night. So I knew they would, have a drive right there. You hope to get a stop on that fourth down or a third down stop. But they did a good job converting and, you know, just didn't get the ball with a whole lot of time. Yeah, got to look at the film, but you know, had a few opportunities down there at the 1 yard line, and you know, couldn't get a yard. I think went backwards a little bit, but luckily we were able to throw it in a few times, so that was good. But we got to find ways to be able to run the ball in there when we get on the 1 yard line. It had a little bootleg and was trying to, you know, maybe hit Ruben or hit a crossing route. But we did have a note that, you know, some of their crossers or safeties were pretty aggressive. They might try to cut, and got out there clean and gave him a shot. So he did a good job, you know, fighting through the route and getting open and going to get the ball right there. Yeah, you know, he played outstanding. He played great all game. He was in great rhythm and throwing the ball accurately, throw some tight you know, passes, and was moving around the pocket. So that's what he can do. He's got that ability and great control of the offense, and you know, he played outstanding. Yeah, it was just a fourth down call, and they got pretty good pressure. We got out of the pocket, just, you know, looking for somebody, and kind of set my feet, looked back there, and saw him. You know, wasn't obviously how you draw it up, but you know, we practiced scramble drills a bunch, and a good job of him staying alive and making a play.
Eli Manning, 30 of 41 passes, 350 yards, 6 touchdowns. You have to figure, Monty, numbers like that, you're going to get yourself a win. I mean, it's mind-boggling what has happened.
Yeah, especially when there's no interceptions. I mean, this is a guy, accuracy was there today, spreading the ball around to all the different receivers. He looked very comfortable back there in the pocket, even, you know, got out of the pocket a few times and made some plays down the field. I just think that it's, you know, and then not even that. He got a lot of guys getting injured, so he got receivers in and out of the lineup. I think he did a fantastic job. It's a shame that he lost this game, but the defense absolutely let him down.
Yeah, if I'm Eli Manning and I'm in a quarterback, in general, if I say I'm going to wake up this morning, throw for 6 touchdowns, with offensive linemen coming in and out, I'm going to run the ball at 4 yards a carry, which was admirable, I'm going to feel good about my chances. It's just, unfortunately, there's other phases of the game. It's a complete game, and they came up short. I'm always going to appreciate Eli Manning's just being a stand-up guy in the interviews, always being accountable, taking credit, giving credit to the team that won, and taking responsibility when things don't go well. But that's who he is, and that's the guy you blocked for.
Yeah, record-setting performance today, 13 touchdown passes between the two quarterbacks. And congratulations to Eli as well, because he passed Joe Montana for 11th all-time in quarterbacks touchdowns history.
276.
Yeah, he's 276 he's got. I think Joe Montana had 273, so that's big for him. But he continues his stellar play this season. 17 touchdowns, only 4 interceptions. And, I mean, he threw the ball 41 times against the Saints defense, who's got some pretty aggressive corners. No interceptions, and you get a defensive score. I think Eli would have thought he would have finally come away from New Orleans with a victory. But, you know, kudos to him. You mentioned him moving around in the pocket a little bit. Early on in the game, the Giants could not punch it in from the 1 yard line. They had to go to a couple rub routes with Odell Beckham. Eli made some big time throws there. And then I thought the biggest play of the game, really, for Eli was that 4th and 5. We were all watching, and he scrambles out to the right. Yeah. You know, breaks contain, which is not something Eli, that's not exactly his forte. But in on 4th down, I mean, look, we've seen him kind of, you know, make mistakes at the end of the game and not understand what's going on. But 4th down, he understands, hey, I just got to throw the ball up, give my guys a chance because it's 4th down anyways. And Dwayne Harris makes a great catch. That was a huge play for the Giants getting back into the game.
But you guys know Eli well. The one stat he's not pleased with is the bottom line is the L as opposed to the W. All right, a lot more to come, folks. So stay right where you are. Let's take care of a little business, though. Guests of our post-game show here receive a gift certificate to Ben & Jack's Terrific Steakhouse, located in Manhattan on 5th Avenue at 28th Street. From the celebrated porterhouse to the finest seafood anywhere, Ben & Jack's will surpass your expectations of what a steakhouse should be. Lots more coming up here on Giants Post-Game Live. Rashad Jennings, so stay right where you are. We're coming back.
guys and Rashad, I thought you ran extremely hard, and the way that this game was going, like I've been talking to Howard Cross, it's like video game pinball the way it was. Have you ever been involved in something like this? Because it was wild.
It was the first time I've ever been involved with that much scoring on each side of the ball, and you know, battling back and forth, and it was a fun game to be in. But you know, we got to find a way to come up on the better side.
Do you actually get the feeling as you're playing in a game like this that you're unstoppable, but you also see that your defense isn't stopping them either? That it truly might come down to who has the ball last.
You know, sometimes you feel like, you know, as an offense, you're always thinking about, you know, if you had the ball last, you're gonna win. You know, that's regardless of the situation, but. You know, we knew coming in we was going to have to score some points. You know, they're a good team under the leadership of Breeze. And, you know, I think we should have just made more plays offensively. They were there. You know, few drop here. You know, maybe if we could protect a little bit more here, maybe if we could break a tackle here, it's a different ball game.
Now, you're always very philosophical. You've also been around this league for a while. To have this team lose as many heartbreaking losses already at this point in the season, how difficult is that to rebuild the emotions and to try to come back?
Not at all. And I say that because of the character of the guys in the locker room. You know, we know we got a good team. We really do. So we're just concerned about the sounds that's in the locker room, building and continuing to grow from this. You know, we're learning from the mistakes. We got a great team coming in next week, and everything's still right in front of us.
Rashad Jennings, thanks for your time.
Appreciate it.
All right, guys, let's go back to you.
All right, Paul, thank you very much. And what do you say we take a look at the rushing attack, some of the stats for the Giants today? And, you know, I have to tell you, I thought Rashad Jennings, guys, you know, Paul mentioned it too, and speaking with him, he was running very hard today. And not just rushing the ball, even when receiving the ball. And Darqua, again, looks, you know, he gives you some bursts. Just, you know, he got hurt there.
Yeah, I mean, Darqua and Jennings both had a long of 17. And Sean, you know this. You know, gone are the days where you give one guy the ball 20 times, 25 times, and maybe you throw a scat back in there to, you know, get some
rhythm.
Draws and screens and things like that. But you just have to run the ball now in today's NFL in situations. So if you can keep the ball, you know, 4 yards a carry, which they did, 21 attempts, you would have loved to see a 50-yard run because the way the defense of New Orleans Saints was playing back because of all the passing. But, again, you maximize your carries. I think that's what was important for me from this running game. And 4 yards a carry is something you can build on for next year, and certainly down the stretch when it gets a little bit more difficult to throw the football.
Yeah, next year and also next week, but I'm just joking. But I think that the reason why they weren't able to run the football was because the Saints' offense was just that powerful. I mean, you can't keep running the football and not get those chunks of yards when you're on the other side when the Saints are just rolling down the field with coming up with touchdowns. It kind of forces your offense to go into a little bit higher gear than it wants to. And not run the ball as much as it'd like to.
Yeah, the game dictated that they had to throw the football, and why wouldn't you? I mean, the Saints secondary was giving up a lot of yards. But the thing that has to be frustrating for this offensive line, for the running backs, I'm sure Pat Flaherty is scratching his head, is you get down on the 1 yard line and you can't punch it in. And Kevin Williams was a menace. I mean, he was in the backfield. He's been in the league for 35 years. I mean, he's older than dirt, but yet he was still ripping and tearing. Yeah. And you know, there comes a time when you got to draw a line in the sand. You got to say, look, we're going to punch this ball in. And luckily, the Giants were able to come away with touchdowns on some of those slants to Odell Beckham. But they were efficient. They ran the football when they needed to. Hopefully, Orleans Darqua will be all right. I think he strained his back today in the game. But, you know, I thought they got north-south when they needed to. But they've got to find a way to punch it in on those third and short and goal line situations.
Yeah, Sean, you want to get to December and you have an attitude when you've got to get that. When you need to get that yard, you have to be able to get it. And that's the, you know, the point I was trying to make.
And they want to have confidence in getting those yards. Well, one guy certainly part of that running attack will be, you know, one of their offensive linemen, Justin Pugh. We got him coming up in just a little bit. So stay right where you are. You're watching Giants Post Game Live here on My Night. All right, welcome back to Giants Post Game Live here on Mine Iron. Let's now go back to the Superdome, catch up with Paul Dottino and Justin Pugh.
Well, thanks again, guys. And Justin, what is a game like this like for an offensive line? I mean, it's up and down the field on both sides. I don't know if anybody's even taking a breather. You guys, of course, playing in all no huddle. That's got to be really exhausting.
It was a fun game. It was up and back and forth. We were able to get some points on the board. Our defense came up with a huge play there to put us up 49-42. You know, we got to put ourselves in a better position there that last drive and pick up a first down and either end with the ball in our hands or, you know, be able to come down and get us in field goal range. It would have been nice.
How surprising is it that the way that the offenses were going on both sides of the ball, everybody seemed to be able to do what they wanted to. Then on that last drive in the fourth quarter, when you guys had the chance to get the first down, you couldn't get it.
I mean, it's 30 seconds. We're trying to, you know, push the ball downfield to get us in field goal range and puts you in a little difficult situation because you're trying to force some things down the field to make a play. You're not taking what the defense gives you, so it puts us in a little bit different position as the offense. So it's definitely tough. We got to start pulling out these close games. We start pulling out these close games, we're going to be in the position we want to be in.
All right, now I know you're a positive guy, so I'm going to let you take a positive out of this. You guys still scored an incredible amount of points in a very hostile environment. What does that say about this offense and Eli Manning?
I mean, I'm just proud of this group. We go out there and fight. We get down 14 points. We're down 14. We had some big key moments where we came down the field and scored. A minute 30, no timeouts left. We come down and score at the end of the second half. Come out, score right away coming out of the second half. We were able to do some very, very good things. You know, I'm proud of the way the guys battled, proud of the way they fought. We're going to win a lot of games. These close ones are going to help teach us how to win and how to be better and how to finish games. We've got to finish games stronger, and we'll be in a much better position.
Justin Pugh, thanks for your time.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Okay, guys, let's go back to you.
All right, well, you got to like what Justin Pugh says there. These close games are going to teach him how to win. I would suggest, though, the sooner the better, because these are gut-wrenching right now. But let's talk a little about, Amani, about the receivers, because, you know, one of the alums from Newman High School, Odell Beckham Jr., along with quarterback Eli Manning, pretty good day.
Yeah, they had a really good day today. I was really impressed with Odell Beckham. He was getting held the whole time by Bro, but he still found a way to make plays happen. That's what a good receiver does, no matter what's happening to you, find a way. Dwayne Harris, you know, had some really clutch plays coming off of the being taken, kicking off the field. And Reuben Randall, he had an all right game, but I think that there's some effort issues with him that I have. Sometimes the ball looked like it could have been caught, but he just didn't put forth the effort. And that's something that I would be upset if I was the offensive coordinator.
You know what? We all looked at each other on that last. And it looked like he kind of short-armed it.
Not even just on the on that last play, but when Odell Beckham was running down the field, you know, Reuben Randall was trying to block for him, and I didn't know if he didn't really look like he was trying to do anything.
Listen, it's a very tough situation when you continue to lose. All the excitement and everything else, when you continue to lose in the closing seconds, that is very tough to swallow. Again, you want to learn from it, but as I said, the sooner the better. All right, a lot more coming up on Giants Post Game Live here on My9. Devon Kennard coming up. So, again, stay right where you are. We are coming back. All right, welcome back to Giants Post Game Live. A quick look at the NFC East standings. As I said earlier, the good news is Giants are still in first place. Redskins and Eagles both have a bye this week, so they will stay at 3-4. Cowboys are at 2-4, and right now in the second quarter, the last I had, Cowboys are trailing the Seattle Seahawks by a score of 10-3. All right, what do you say we now go back to the Superdome, catch up with Paul Dottino with Devon Kennard.
Well, thanks again, guys. And, Devon, I know that it's fun to watch from a fan's perspective to see both teams going up and down the field, but I know as a defensive player that can't be a lot of fun for you.
Absolutely not. You know, it's very frustrating when, you're playing in a game as a defensive player and the offense scores 52 points.
Now, you knew going in that Drew Brees was a great quarterback, obviously, and they had a lot of weapons. Is there anything that you saw that you didn't expect to see? Why was it that you just couldn't get that one stop when you needed it?
I would have to go look at film and see what happened. You know, it's a lot of different things I feel like we're doing wrong to allow them to just, you know, keep getting drives and keep drives alive.
The pass rush certainly is one of the things that you guys have to improve on. How do you get that going?
I think the D-line will continue to work and progress, and sometimes the ball was just coming out quick. And, being a back guy, we got to cover so the D-line could get some coverage sacks. So it all works together, and we all got to do a better job.
All right, finally, I've asked one of your teammates this, too. The number of heartbreaking losses you guys have now suffered in the first half of the season, how do you keep the emotions together and pick up the pieces?
We're a resilient team, and, we're 4-4. We still control our own destiny, and we got a great game to play next week against Tampa. And we got to, look at the film hard, look ourselves in the mirror, and come and bounce back next week.
All right, Devon Kennard, thanks for your time.
Thank you.
All right, guys, let's go back to you.
All right, Paul and Devon, thank you very much. You know, guys, I do believe that. They are a very resilient group. They've proven that because they bounce back from these gut-wrenching losses. But moving forward, winning builds confidence. Losses goes in the opposite direction, and those are gut-wrenching losses.
Yeah, they certainly are, and Devon Kennard, certainly he's been banged up, and from the linebacking crew, they just can't seem to get their three starters healthy, and they've been rotating, and John Beeson was inactive, so it's got to be really frustrating for this defense to not have their first-string guys, not have the full complement of players, and really, I mean, they're going to be struggling next week just to have healthy bodies out there on defense.
Yeah, you look at what was said, even on the TV copy, that a lot of passes were lost or gained from the New Orleans standpoint at the linebacker level. You talk about the injuries. You talk about the younger guys that are stepping up and playing admirably when Kennard, I mean, younger players that will be good. But, Rush, you said sooner than later, this team has to continue to believe in themselves, continue to believe in what they can do collectively as a group and get better in the second half of the season. That is what you have to do if you want to stay ahead of the league. And, again, you can't worry about what anybody else does. You just have to worry about yourself, do your job, and let the league and their standings take care of themselves.
I think there's only real three things that they need to do for next week's game. First is they need to rush the ball. They got to rush the ball and make sure that they control the clock a little bit better. Second thing is they need to get a pass rush as well.
Yeah.
That's what they need to make sure their defense. It helps the secondary if you can get a pass rush. And then third, silly penalties this week. The silly penalty, the face mask is what ended up losing them the game ultimately.
All right, well, that's a wrap on this week's edition. Next game coming up, again, on the road for the Big Blue. They travel down to Tampa to face the Buccaneers in a 4:05 start time to be seen on our sister station, Fox 5. And then, of course, as always, following each and every Giants game, you'll want to flip right over to My 9 for Giants Post Game Live. For Sean O'Hara, Roman Oben, and Imani Tuma, I'm Russ Salzberg. Thanks for being part of Giants Post Game Live here on My 9. We will see you again next week.